today I will be returning to my my series on parables of Jesus. And I know it's been a while since my last parable message, but it was the parable of the sower and the seed that I preached on last time I went through the parables. And today's parable comes right after that, and it's found in Matthew chapter 13 with verse 24. The setting is that Jesus went by the Sea of Galilee, and many people came to hear him speak more. They wanted to hear more from him, and he began telling them several parables. After the sower and the seed, we see the parable of the weeds, or many of you may know this as the parable of the tares if you grew up with the King James Version. But turn with me, please, to chapter 13, verse 24 of Matthew, and I'll go ahead and start reading from there. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn.'" The start of this parable begins with "the kingdom of heaven is like." This is helping us to understand that what Jesus is about to say is going to have something to do with the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a comparison or a resemblance of some sort to the kingdom of heaven. So let's first look at what is said in this parable and then get to the explanation. It starts out with a farmer, a person who sows good seed in his field. You see, this is good seed, so the farmer is expecting to have a good crop. It's good seed. Yet, we're told that there is an enemy. This farmer, the man who sowed the good seed, has an enemy that is crafty and mean. And under the cover of darkness, this enemy comes and sows weeds among the man's wheat. Think about that for a moment. This enemy isn't out to immediately destroy this man's field or this man's crop. He wants to possibly destroy it over time or more bring frustration and make the farmer miserable with a crop that is both wheat and weeds. The thing is, the farmer would begin to see the crop growing. Everything looks good. And the farmer is happy and continues to care for the field and the crop growing in it. But part of the way through it, the farmer's workers notice something wrong. Well, first of all, more is growing than what is expected. But also, as they start to grow bigger, the workers notice that part of the crop is not wheat. A good portion of the field is weeds. The weed likely understood here would have been called darnel or tares. It is a weed that looks very similar to wheat in the early stages of growth. So very early on, it is very difficult to tell the difference because they look so similar. But this darnel is described as a weedy rye grass with poisonous black seeds. It's definitely something you don't want mixed with a good crop. So as the wheat and the weeds are maturing, the servants begin to see the weeds. They ask the owner, what happened? Why are there weeds there, and what should they do about it? And the farmer tells them that this was the work of his enemy. The weeds that have been growing are the work of his enemy. And then when the servants asked about removing the weeds, he tells them not to remove the weeds from the crop. And the reasons why are, first, the weeds wrap their roots around the roots of the wheat. So both the weed and the wheat, they're tangled up in the roots. And if one were to try and pull the weed, even if it was properly identified as a weed, and they were to try and pull that up, it's very possible that they would injure and pull up the roots of the wheat, damaging the wheat. Second, it's entirely possible that in trying to remove the weeds, some good crop may be misidentified, and good crop is actually pulled because they've misidentified it. They look very similar early on. So the smart farmer answers their question about trying to pull up all the weeds that they find. He tells them, let them grow together until the time of harvest. At that time, they will separate the crop from the weeds. When they are fully mature, they will be easily identified, and the crop will be harvested and brought into the barn after the weeds have been removed. You see, it's that time, that harvest. It doesn't matter if one comes up or with the other, it's all going to be harvested. But the interesting thing about the weeds is the weeds will not just be simply thrown down on the ground or thrown off to the side. We're told that they will be bundled up together, and they will be carried away and burned so that they cannot drop their seeds or grow anywhere else. Something that we see is that the farmer's desire is really to protect the crop. Yes, we understand that the weeds are plentiful and they're taking up room in this field. They're taking room away from the wheat, and it's also taking nutrients out of the soil. But doing anything to the weeds will hurt the crop even more. Something else that we do not see here is that the servants are not blamed for failing to secure the crop from the enemy while they were sleeping. You see, the farmer puts all the blame rests on the enemy, who was the one one author described him as a devious enemy in his work of sabotage. Yet, after reading this parable, we understand what is written here. What exactly is the comparison to the kingdom of heaven? How is this parable like the kingdom? You see, this is why Jesus does use parables, is because it's intended for us to want to dig to understand more. Now, we know from the beginning that this is a parable, and it has a heavenly meaning to it. So what is that? We know that there is truth in this story that is important for us to know and understand. Fortunately, we do not have to guess, or we don't even have to come up with our own conclusions, because Jesus himself explains the parable a few verses later. So turn with me to verse 36 of chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew 13:36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So we see that this has, we get the explanation from Jesus. The owner or the farmer, the one who planted or sowed the good seed, is the Son of Man. Well, that is Jesus. Jesus is the sower of the good seed. I would also conclude that all this can be extended to all seeds that come from him, meaning disciples who proclaim the good news of Christ are dispersing some of that truth that turns into good seed. And it's just ultimately all the good seed is from Christ, who is the Son of Man and also the Son of God. What is the field? Jesus makes this very clear that the field is the world. Now, I read and studied this parable for a while, and I came across a few points where people were making the church the field. But that simply just does not fit. And Jesus is very clear that the field is the entire world. The field is beyond the borders of Israel. That place in which Jesus is working the field and planting his seeds is everywhere. Everywhere. Well, what is the good seed? The good seed stands for sons of the kingdom. In the parable, the seeds grew into wheat. What that represented was the growing of faithful believers who received Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, the seed starts with a message of good news and a message of truth and grows into disciples of Jesus who are also called the sons and daughters of God as well. Well, what are the weeds? They are the people of the enemy. Whether they know they are or not, they are the people of the enemy. They may be the ones who persecute believers. They may be the ones who make life miserable for those who live for Jesus Christ. But they are also the unbelievers, those who reject Jesus Christ, those who reject the gospel message, or just those who reject that God even exists. Who is the enemy? The enemy is the devil. The devil, or also known as Satan, is the enemy who desires to disrupt the growth of a good crop. In other words, his desire is to disrupt the growth of disciples. He uses others to do this. And we know that they are the weeds in this parable story, but the weeds may not realize that they are being used to disrupt a bigger picture. Well, the bigger picture is that a harvest is coming. The harvest is the end of the age. We know this is also called something else. It's called the final judgment. The judgment that happens with the second coming of Christ. The farmer returns for the harvest as Christ returns for his disciples. He will return, and when he does, you will either be found righteous because of your faith in Jesus Christ who atoned for your sins, or you will be found guilty of your sin and sent to your eternal punishment. Well, what does that eternal punishment look like? We get a fair description just in this explanation of the parable alone. Let's read verses 39 through 43 again. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We're given the two destinations, one for those who do evil and one for those who are righteous. And we have to be careful with this. There might be people out there thinking, I'm a pretty good person. They may not be a follower of Jesus Christ, but they also may not identify with being evil. Because for many, the definition of someone who is evil would resemble, let's say, Hitler. Now, Hitler was evil. How about a serial killer? Well, that's someone who's evil. How about someone who just delights in seeing the pain of someone else? Well, that person must be evil. For many people, this is what we picture when we think of evil. But the Apostle Paul clearly tells us that every human being, except for Jesus, is a sinner and has, a portion of evil in them. Because we're all fallen. Well, let's read Romans 3:22 through 23. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, that's pretty clear. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, these couple of passages, they point us to Christ. They point us to a need for Christ. But if we have not put our faith in Him and are not following Him, we know our fate. We've all sinned. Because of our sin, we will receive what is due, and that is death. Well, what does that death look like? It looks like a weed being thrown into a fire. And in that fire, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This description reminds us that such an end would be horrific. Some would ask, well, why would God do that? And I want you to know that that's the end. That end is not what the Lord wants for us. He doesn't want that. That's why He sent Jesus. We see that God is patient. He cares about His creation, and He wants everyone to come to Him. God's like, I sent my Son, Jesus, like, I came and died for you because I love you. Accept what I've done for you and live for me. But we know that some will choose not to receive. Some will choose not to follow. I'd like to read 2 Peter Chapter 3, 9 through 10. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. See, God is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But a harvest is coming. The Lord will return, and his return will come like a thief, meaning we're not going to get notice. When he comes, he comes, and it'll be too late. The harvest is coming. And we want to go and be in the house of the Lord when that happens. The Lord is patient. And here's the reality. Sometimes what looks like a weed turns into the good crop. And sometimes what looks like good crop may actually turn out to be a weed. Only the farmer, only Jesus can fully know our hearts and the hearts of those around us. So my question for you this morning is, what are you growing into? Only you know if you are growing as a wheat or a weed. Now, I'm not talking about making mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all are fallen. We all get tempted. There are times that we fail. Now, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, where is your faith? What are you committed to? Are you committed to growing into a disciple of Christ? Or are you committed to something else? Where is your faith? And I also know that life is hard. You might be someone who is feeling choked by the ungodliness around us. I get that. We picture ourselves growing in a field with weeds all around us. There are times that we're going to feel overwhelmed, that we're going to feel down. We're going to feel like the weeds are treading over us. I get that. And Jesus has even told us that in this world, you will have difficulties. He tells us that. We'll have times where life will be difficult. In this life, you'll have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You see, even when we're feeling down, even when we feel like the weeds are overrunning us, we know that a harvest is coming. We know what the end is. And we know that those weeds that are choking us will be held accountable. We know that. We also know something else. That no matter what we feel like, we know that God's love for us will not end. Even with weeds around us, we cannot be taken away from Jesus. I'd like to read out of Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's a promise we hold on to. The enemy can't take us away. His workers can't take us away from the love of Christ. Now, I'm not going to say the devil isn't going to try and tell you that God doesn't love you. I know the devil will actually try and use that. He will try to get you to think that you are unlovable, and that Jesus didn't die for you. But that's a lie. That is a lie. Also, when we are thinking about ourselves in a field surrounded by ungodliness and weeds. Another reason why we gather together, and that's that we can encourage one another. We can help uplift each other, carry each other's burdens. It is a way that we together can help each other in our difficulties. When we're feeling down or feeling overrun, we can speak words of encouragement. We can come alongside and walk with you. We can go through these difficult times together. You are not alone. You may not be alone, but we are living in a world where sin and evil are present. We have to realize that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter how faithful we are, we still live in a world where sin and evil exist. And sometimes that's hard. But we have a warning for us in this parable. The warning is, it's not our job to uproot the weeds. When I say that, I'm realizing there's a fine line. There are times where other believers are struggling in sin, and we may need to confront sin in other believers. Now, Paul describes how to do some of those things in different areas. I'm talking about getting rid of those who are ungodly around us. You see, we cannot really tell early on who is a wheat and who is a weed. The farmer is the one who will judge that. If we take on the role of being that judge, we may hurt an early wheat from growing. We may hurt a wheat with our judgment or our actions. Let us live as faithful followers. That's what we are to do. We are growing into disciples, and we need to live as faithful followers and let our lives bear the fruit of living for Jesus, a good crop. And let us be concerned about those around us. You know, we may have weeds around us, but they may represent someone who is hurting. Maybe they look like a weed, but they're going to grow into a wheat. We need to be concerned with those around and share the good news of Christ with them. We don't want anyone that we come into contact with to end up in a fiery end where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us share the good news of Christ, that they too can join the good crop. And let us look forward to being with Jesus for an eternity.